God is good, isn't he? Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Well, welcome. It's a joy to be here. Hey, it's a joy to be here today, and we're in our fifth week of the series that we're in called Established, and we've been talking about how to be rooted and established in the love of God. And today I want to talk to you about walking with God. And I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. This is where we're going to be probably mostly today. We'll be a few other places, but we're going to talk about walking with God. And you can say, okay, well, wait just a minute, Pastor, here. You've already talked about prayer, and you've already talked about the Bible. We've talked about serving, but now you're saying that this is the most powerful practice in the Christian life? Yes, that's what I'm going to say. This is the most powerful practice in the Christian life, and here's why. Because what we're going to talk about today in the realm of walking with God, it will keep you praying, it will keep you in God's Word, it will keep you serving. What will actually keep you applying what God is teaching you. That's what we're going to talk about today. That's why I say it's a very important thing. What we're going to talk about today, one of the most powerful practices in the Christian life, is rarely talked about in the church. I want to talk about walking with others who help you walk with God. Walking with others who will help you walk with God. You see, in life, nothing will hurt more like other people. Nothing will hurt you more than other people. You know, we have all experienced that on some level, right? Nothing hurts us more emotionally. Nothing hurts us more in the realm of maybe even how we see ourselves. Identity makes us feel insecure. Nothing will hurt us more than other people, and I want you to know that nothing will help and heal more than other people. God working through other people. That's the fascinating thing about all of this. You know? Nothing can hurt us more than other people, but nothing will heal us more than God working through other people to help you. So if you and I are going to walk with God, we've got to walk with others. We've got to learn to do that in an authentic way. We need to be real. That helps us practice everything else in the Christian life. So let's dive in, shall we? I'm going to emphasize this because this is a really big deal, okay? Most people don't realize it, that walking with God always includes walking in humility with others. The Christian life and the Christian walk is not a lone wolf experience. It's not an individual or solo sport. The Christian life is meant to be lived with others. So think about that for a moment. Jesus was asked, okay, Jesus, give us a soundbite here, you know, if you want to use modern vernacular. Give us a soundbite. Can you take everything in Scripture and just give us, you know, the greatest one, the greatest commandment? Can you just do that for us? And Jesus goes, yeah, I can do that, sure. Here goes. We talked a little bit about it last week. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he adds this to it. He says, and love your neighbor as yourself. Then he goes on to say, of all the law and all the prophets, hang on these two commandments. In other words, if you and I get loving God with everything we've got and loving others with everything we've got, if we get those two things right, we're going to get everything right. See, Jesus is teaching that this is what life is about. His life was about relationships. And in the end, all that matters is God and other people. God and people, that's all that matters in the end. Think about it for a second. You know, even a cross is about God and people. Picture a cross in your mind. You know, the vertical aspect of the cross is our relationship with God. And then the horizontal aspect of it is about others. And so a cross, if you picture the cross, it's about God and others. See, this is the Christian life, learning to receive the love, the mercy, the truth, the grace of God, and then giving it away to others. That's what the Christian life is all about. Here's how it goes. Here's a little formula for it. God works it in, and we work it out. God works it in, and we work it out. If we're going to walk with God, then we have to learn to walk in humility with others. You know, we actually cannot walk with God without walking in humility with other people. So let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Beginning with the second part of verse 5, he writes this. 1 Peter 5, the last part of verse 5, he writes, "Clothe yourself, all of you, with," what's the next word? Wrong. That wasn't the right answer, Chris. "Clothe all of yourself with" what? Humility. What, who? Toward one another. With humility toward one another. Now, time out. Time out. He says, "Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility." But he's not talking about humility towards God, is he? He says, toward what? Toward who? Toward one another. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another. This whole passage is about the one another. Okay? Then he continues, "For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Wow. How many of you want to be in opposition to God? I don't. Then verses 6 and 7, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." And then one of my favorite scriptures, "Casting all your anxieties or all your cares upon him, because he cares for you." Then he's going to give us a warning. Verse 8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful." Now, the idea here is that of being on guard. Why? Then he goes on to tell you, "Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." He says, "Resist him, be firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood all throughout the world." So we're to clothe ourselves with humility toward one another. Why? Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You see, humility is the chief virtue of the Christian life because all other virtues flow out from it. We just read that, right? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the who? The humble. Which means God works it in, and I work it out. I'm not living a life that is pleasing to God without living a life of faith-fueled humility. Why? Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You're going to hear that a few times today, okay? He gives grace to the who? To the humble. Humility now, as it is organic, it organically grows from sincere faith in Jesus Christ, is the chief virtue of the Christian life because it is the first step to receiving the grace of God in our lives, and it's the grace of God that produces godly virtue in and through us. See how this works? Humility is right at the top. Now listen, no humility, no power from God. No humility, no life change. No humility means you're playing on the wrong team. You're in opposition to God because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now this word humility, this is a big, big deal, okay? And it's often misunderstood. What is humility? let's break it down into three main points for you. Remember, I told you a few weeks ago that every good sermon has three main points. So the one I gave you last week, I guess, wasn't a good sermon. Well, maybe it was a good sermon, even though you didn't have three main points. But point number one is this. Are you ready? Humility is a choice. Humility is a choice. Peter just wrote that it's actually something that we choose to put on. He says, all of you. He's not saying some of you. He says, all of you clothe yourself, or in other words, put on humility toward one another. Now, how many of you chose to put on clothes today? By the way, thank you. Okay, he says, okay, clothe yourself, he says, with what? Humility. Which means this is something that you choose to put on. I chose to wear green today. Green's my favorite color. It's my birthday. So I wore green today. Even my socks are green. Didn't have green shoes, or I'd have worn green shoes. I wear a size 11 and a half if anybody wants to buy me green shoes. Yeah, almost. In March, St. Patrick's Day is going to be on a Sunday. I might want to borrow that suit from you that you wore the other night. Okay. Clothe yourself. Put on humility. It means it's something you choose to put on. This is not an emotion, folks. It's not an emotion. This is a choice to put this on, and then you practice it. Oh. So what is humility? A lot of people think that humility is about being timid or being shy. Yeah, I'm really humble. I'm really humble. You know, or even not thinking much of yourself. All of those kinds of things, that's actually not the biblical definition of humility. Humility and timidity are not the same thing. You can be very courageous and humble at the same time. In fact, humility is going to require tremendous courage from you. Why? Because humility is about reality. Humility is about reality. He says, clothe yourself with humility. You see, humility is a trust word. Okay? It's a trust word. It's choosing to trust God and others with the real me. It's choosing to trust God and others with the real me, the reality of who I am. See, humility is how we actually receive love. So the degree that I trust you is equal to the degree that I actually allow you to love me. Humility is how love is received. Humility is a big, big deal. And the only way to experience the real love of God and the real love of others is to be courageous enough to be the real you. The more prideful you are, the more lonely you will be. Why is that? Because people could be trying to love you, but they don't know the real you. They're trying to love an image that you are presenting. They're trying to love somebody who doesn't even exist. The only way to experience the real love of God and the real love of others is to be courageous enough to be the real you. This is so different than what most people practice in church. You know, for most people, church is where you go to pretend. Church is where you go to say, I'm good. How you doing? I'm good. I'm all good. How are you? Yeah, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm really good, brother. Hello, brother. How are you doing? I'm fine. You're fine. I'm fine. We're all fine, right? See, when we do that, we're actually in denial because I'm not fine. You're not fine, okay? And I'm not okay, and you're not okay. But you know, God says, trust Him, and He'll make it okay. And I want you to know something. It's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
But get this, it's not okay to stay that way. It's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. All right? We need each other. We all just need to get real in church. Because church was designed to be a place where we can go to get help in our time of need. Church is for sinners who need a Savior. And the more that we can be honest about who we are and what's going on in our lives and what we don't understand about the Bible, the more that we can share our struggles. The more that we can be giving to God and give Him an opportunity to heal us and to change us and to empower us whenever and whatever it is that we're struggling with or whatever we're experiencing in life. He will do that when you're honest with Him and honest with people. See, He will do that through those people. He will help you through those people. This is how church works. And I believe if church worked that way, really, this place would be jam-packed. See, this whole idea of church being a place where you go to pretend, would you just please get rid of that? Would you get rid of that notion? Church is where we're honest about what's going on in our lives so that we can get help in our time of need. So humility is about reality. Pride is about pretending. Humility is about trusting God and others with what's really going on in your life. Let me give you some tools here that will help you practice humility, okay? Because for many of us, this could be a new thing. There's something called SOAP, and it's not the Wayne Cordero SOAP thing, okay? This is a little bit different than Wayne Cordero SOAP. This is a little different. It's an acrostic, and what does SOAP do? SOAP keeps you clean, right? Okay, so here's what you do. Are you ready for this? If you want to write this down on the back of your worksheet in that little space that's left, you can do that, all right? Here's what you do. You go to lunch or breakfast or coffee or something, someone up preferably of the same sex, okay? Unless you're going to do this with your spouse, but I'd really like to see you step beyond that. You know, you're always with your spouse. They're your best friend. They should be. But get together with someone. Have a cup of coffee, whatever, right? Because humility is new and you may not have practiced this before, this will help you. You just go through this SOAP process together. S stands for Scripture. So far, it's the same, I know. S stands for Scripture. Scripture is what God is teaching you in the Bible. You just do that in the context of that friendship. You read some Scripture. You talk about it. What God is teaching you in Scriptures. It could be questions that you have about a few things. It could be that you don't understand something and you want to talk about that. Did God speak to you through the Scripture or even through a sermon? Could be something that's on your mind, right? You just get together. What's God teaching you in Scripture? That's S. Then O stands for outreach. Is there anyone in your life that you're praying for that they'll say yes to Jesus? Is there anyone in your life that you're intentionally hanging out with? You know, because one of the things that God wants us to do, one of the things in the realm of following Jesus is that we share our faith. Outreach. Who are you reaching out to? Who are you praying for? Who is it that you're hoping will one day say yes to Jesus? Who are you intentionally befriending so that they'll be given an opportunity to receive the love of God in their life and then through their faith in Jesus Christ, come to faith in Jesus? Outreach. A is for accountability. Here's what you do. This may be hard for some of you. What three things that you want the other person to hold you accountable for? Remember, we're being authentic. We're being real here, okay? We're not pretending. What three things are you asking them to hold you accountable for? Okay? And then P is prayer. So you just pray for one another. Pray for each other. And this is going to require some courage. Before you pray, look the other person in the eye, and I want you to say this. Hey, were you being truthful with me about those things that you just shared? My brother and I used to have this thing where we would call each other on a regular basis, and we would say, hey, how are you doing? And we'd ask each other to hold each other accountable in a certain area and say, how are you doing in this area of your life? You know, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to lie to my brother. You know, well, I'm not going to lie to anybody, but I'm certainly not going to lie to my brother. I'm not going to lie to my spouse. So when they ask me those hard questions, I would say, or I'm good. If I was doing good, I would say I'm doing good. If I wasn't doing good, I'd say I'm not so good. Keep praying. That's so important to have someone that you can, that will hold you accountable. I had a guy in my church in Arkansas that said, Pastor, I want you to call me every morning and ask me how I'm doing in this area. Please call me every morning and ask me, because he was really struggling with something. So I'd call him every morning, and I did that for like 2 months. And then he says, let's do it once a week now. I'm doing better. So I'd do it once a week, and I'd call him, and I'd ask him how he was doing. And then it got to where he got complete victory over that because he was accountable to someone. He was transparent enough with me to say, hey, I'm struggling in this area. Help me walk through that. That's what the church is all about, helping each other walk through rough areas in our life. That's what it's about. And the more honest you are as you walk through this soap thing each week, the healthier and more beneficial it will be for you. If you're not honest, you're wasting your time. Scripture, outreach, three things you want to be held in the realm of accountability, and then you pray for each other. And here's the deal. Trust only happens up close and over time. Trust only happens up close and over time. You know, in the beginning, it's going to be a little awkward. if you've never clothed yourself with humility, like this real honest friendship, this will take some time. Just give it that time and let the trust build. This is one of the most helpful, one of the most powerful practices of the Christian life. Now, I'll just ask you right now, do you have anybody in mind that you're being honest with right now? All of us need to learn it. And the greatest obstacle to the power of God working in your life is your own pride. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the who? The humble. So let's clothe ourselves with humility, trusting God and others to help with the real me, okay? Point number two, humility invites God's love to work in my life. Peter says, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up. And then he goes, cast all your anxiety, which means if you're going to practice humility, there will be times of anxiety, okay? Cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Pride is about what? Pretending. Humility is about what? Reality. What is it that you're pretending is not a problem? What is it that you're pretending is not a problem? Jesus came to save us, not just in the hereafter, but Jesus came to save us in the here and now. Remember, I'm not okay. You're not okay. All of us have stuff in our lives that are not okay. And we will not hear from it, and we will not heal from it by ignoring it. The Bible calls this walking in the light. Walking in the light as he is in the light. Jesus is our example. You've got to step out of the denial, stop ignoring it, bring it into the light with God and others so that you can get help in your time of need. See, it invites God's love and power to begin to work in your life. And we need that so much, so desperately. There's this movie out that's called Wonder. It stars Owen Wilson and Julia Roberts. Maybe you've seen it. I don't know if you have or not, but great movie. They have two children. And they have this little girl who is the older sister, and then they have this little boy, and his name is August, and they call him Augie. And he has some facial deformities. Maybe you've seen the trailer to it, I don't know. But he has some facial deformities, and he doesn't look normal. And he's been homeschooled up until the fifth grade, and the movie is about him going to public school for the first time. You can just imagine all that comes with that. You know, kids can be really mean. His face is deformed and people kind of stare at him when he goes out in public, all of that stuff. So this is the story of Augie's experience. He wants to be an astronaut when he grows up, and he draws pictures referring to things of astronauts and everything. He decorates his room with astronauts and NASA stuff and all of that. And he loves to wear a space helmet when he goes out in public, which makes sense because nobody can see his deformed face, right? When he walks to school, he wears the space helmet until somebody makes him take it off. And then about midway through the movie, he can't find his space helmet anymore. He's ashamed of the way his face looks, and he can no longer hide that of which he's ashamed. And he's kind of freaking out about it as the movie goes on. And toward the end of the movie, Augie has a conversation with his dad, and Augie is sitting there with his dad, Owen Wilson, and his dad says, Augie, I've got to confess something. I hid your helmet. And Augie goes, oh, Dad, why would you do that? Why would you hide my helmet? That helmet, I feel so much more comfortable with that helmet. The dad says, yeah, it's in my office. You can have it back whenever you want it. Augie said, Dad, I love that helmet. I don't want everybody seeing my face. Then his dad says, Augie, I know you're a little ashamed about your face. But you know what, son? You're my son, and I love your face. And I want to see your face because you're my son, and I love you. I love your face, he says. And there's just this, as you can imagine, I'm even getting choked up now. There's this tender exchange in this movie. That is what we're talking about today. God knows everything that you're ashamed of. He loves you as you are, not as you think you should be. He loves you as you are. None of us are as we should be. He loves you no matter where you've been. He loves you no matter what you've done. And he loves you no matter what's been done to you. You see, he loves you. You see, you want to know what humility is? It's taking off the space helmet. It's taking off that helmet. It's in essence saying, hey, this is it. I'm not proud. I'm not excited about it. But would you love me anyway? And God says, yes, I will love you. Let me tell you something about real people who are trying to follow Jesus. When we do that with each other, we get real love from other people as well. Obviously, it requires trust. It takes some time and all of that. When you take off the helmet, you're inviting God's love to begin to work in your life, and it will radically change you from the inside out. Humility is a choice. Humility invites God's love to work in my life. And point number three, humility protects me from being eaten. Yeah, I know that's a little weird, but I'll explain it here in a second. Here's what your Bible says. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. See, the devil's like a lion roaming around wanting to eat somebody. That is taught in the context of humility. Peter had no idea what this meant, but the Holy Spirit did. And it was the Holy Spirit that inspired him to write this. But he had no idea the power of what he was just writing. Do you know how lions hunt? If you're a male lion, you've got a really good deal in life. Because a male lion eats, sleeps, and helps make other lions. Okay? He eats and sleeps and then helps make other lions. They're super lazy, okay? The females do all the work. The female lions do all the work. They do the hunting. They go out on the hunt, okay? And they'll try to separate like a gazelle or something from the other group of gazelles. And they'll begin to chase it. And the good news for the gazelle is it's faster than the female lion. The bad news is that there's a bunch of female lions and there's only one gazelle because they've separated it from the crowd. So the gazelle will run around, and if it's smart enough and it can get to it, it will go into a really thick brush. It gets into a protective covering there. Because the gazelle is really small and female lions are large and they can't get into that protective covering. The gazelle is safe as long as it remains in the protective covering. And that's where the male lion comes in. The female lions go back and they get the male lion and they bring him back. And the male lion will go up to the edge of the thicket where the gazelle is safe, and the male lion will just roar. Have you ever heard the roar of a male lion? And I'm not talking about one on television, but have you really heard one in real life? It's terrifying. If you have a digestive problem, the roar of a male lion will solve it for you. It's amazing. The male lion will come up to that protective covering where the gazelle is safe, and it will just roar. And the gazelle, if it's not paying attention, is so terrified by the roar, it hops out of the protective covering. And then what happens? It gets devoured by the female lion. Jesus called Satan the father of lies. That's how he roars. You see, he says things like, if you're honest, nobody will love you. If you're honest, nobody will talk to you anyway. If you're honest, you can't be honest with God. You can't be honest with people in the church. You see, it keeps people from getting help in your time of need when you don't practice humility. That's the protective covering. The protective covering is humility. Satan lies to us with his roar. But if we will practice humility, it keeps us from being eaten. Now, think about this. Jesus is so cool. God is so cool. The Holy Spirit is so awesome. What do you call a group of lions? A pride. Isn't that amazing? He knew that. He inspired Peter to write about a roaring lion. Let me tell you something that's beautiful about authentic friendship centered around God's love. It protects us from being eaten. Isn't that great? Listen, pride comes before a fall. Someone said it like this: pride comes before a fall, but a humility will protect us all. I think it was, remember how Muhammad Ali used to like to throw little rhymes out there, you know? This is kind of Reverend Al Sharpton thing, you know? Did I just quote Al Sharpton? No, I didn't quote Al Sharpton, but I said his name. All right. When we step into a place where we have authentic friendship centered around God's word, God's power begins to work in our life. Do you want God's power to work in your life? See, what happens is it protects us from stupid decisions. Anybody ever made a stupid decision? It's how God designed the church to be. So let's take a chance. Let's begin to practice humility. And in that, let's experience the power of God in our life. You see, to walk with God, you've got to learn to walk with humility and with others. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your great love. I thank you for inspiring 40 different authors over 1,500 different years to write 66 different books that have such unity and continuity throughout the whole scripture. One scientist said that your word, because of historical facts, is 99.96% accurate according to facts, according to history, according to all of that. And Lord, that's no surprise to you. I believe it's 100% accurate. Jesus, thank you. You loved us so much that you came and gave your life. Lord, may we take this passage of Scripture that we read about and talked about and discussed today, Lord, and may we practice humility. May we clothe ourselves with humility. May we choose to put that on every single day and to walk in humility with others. May we learn to be transparent with our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we learn to be real with our brothers and sisters in Christ. God, I thank you and I praise you.